time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today on our show, our series, Organic Gardening, I am with one of my great friends, Inspector Dave. Inspector Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Joey B. Always great to be in the Joey B studio.
You know something? I think, quite honestly, you'd rather be in the Inspector Dave Organic Gardening. But today, hey, wintertime, little recording session here. It's what it has to be.
Yes, it's our way to stay connected to the outdoors, even though we're indoors.
Absolutely. And Inspector Dave, today's topic is all about composting. Something, hey, you're the expert, and I know that you know so much about it. So let's get right into it. You know, what is compost?
Well, composting is material that you create. It's something you can do on your own at your own house. And the reason we need the compost, think of your soil as a factory. It's a place where all the organisms and all the different things work in there to feed the plants and to make the soil alive. And you're helping to create things that you can put into the ground to feed that furnace in that little factory.
And it's funny that, and, you know, as you're saying that, and I know how much you do compost and what it looks like, and you give a great description there of, you know, what is compost. So here's the next question is, so why do we compost then?
Well, there's lots of reasons. First of all, because you can do it yourself. You don't need other people to help you. You don't need to have to go to the store to buy things, so you can save yourself a lot of money. And it's just a way to put yourself into the circle of nature as you create different waste products, whether in your kitchen or in your yard. It's a way to take that waste product now and recycle it back into the ground and make it part of the soil, and it's all one big circle of nature.
You know, it's funny as you say the circle of nature, and again, I don't know many movies, but I know The Lion King, and he talks about the circle of life, and that's actually part of the circle of life. You're putting it right back in.
Yes, that's correct. And the more we put back into the soil, the more alive we make it, and the more healthy our plants will be, whether it's flowers, vegetables, or even our lawns.
You know, it's funny, and I was actually watching a show on RFD TV, and it was about getting nutrients back into the soil in corn country, and it's very difficult to do that, but on a smaller scale in people's homes, pretty easy to do.
Oh, yes, it's very simple to do, and we're going to talk about that as we go through the next few minutes, all the different ways there are to compost, and how easy it actually is once you get into the habit of doing it.
All right, so here's my next question to you is composting part of a recycling program in your home?
Well, absolutely. We think about recycling most times as putting our glass and our aluminum and our plastics and our newspaper into the out of the waste stream and into the recycling programs. But we also have many other things on our properties that we create, whether it's the peelings from our things that we buy our vegetables and our fruits, whether it's our newspapers can be part of your composting process, and also all the leaves and grass and all the things that we rake up in our yard, we cut our grass. That's all things that can be part of our recycling program.
All right. Now, how can composting save us money?
Well, the number one way is obviously you're using your own products rather than going to the garden center and buying bags of pre-made compost or other soil amendments, because compost is basically an amendment to the soil. You're taking whatever soils are in your area, in your yard, and you're trying to make them better by adding more organic matter to that that'll create more minerals and more nutrients, you know, in that there, and also will help to keep the moisture at a stable level inside the soil also. So these are all reasons that it can save us money, because you're going to save on watering, because you're not using watering now on your lawns as much, because the compost is holding that moisture there that's naturally occurring from the rain and from dew. And also it keeps us from having to, if we pay for our garbage to be removed, which many of us do, it's not included in our taxes, and we have to pay for garbage removal. That's all tonnage that you'd be paying for all those things that you can be recycling into your yard.
And you know, it's, as you described that, and I'm listening and obviously always learning from you, and I'm going, how many people go to a nursery and buy some bag of, whether it's a humus of sorts or just, but some type of basically recycled product compost that's out there when they could be doing it on their own and saving that money?
Yes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the products that you find as long as they're organically based products that you're buying at the nurseries and at the stores. But again, why spend money if you can do it yourself? That's what it's all about, to get in touch with the world, to try and be your own circle within your yard, within your household.
And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. And with that being said, Inspector Dave, can anyone compost?
Sure, it's a pretty easy thing to do. It's not that scientific, just a couple basic skills. And then people who live in a home, it's much easier for them, of course, because they have maybe a yard or small area outside. And composting the products you create can be used for anything. They can be used in a vegetable garden, which maybe you don't have, but you can use them on your flower garden, or you can use it on your lawn. So any area that has soil can benefit from composting where things grow. Now, if you live in a condo maybe, or an apartment building, you may not have an area that's available for composting. So then you'd have to possibly seek out a municipal source for a composting site they may have where you can take your things, or you can buddy up with a friend or neighbor or relative that may have a compost pile, and then you can take things over to them to help feed their pile.
As you said that, now I'm listening, I'm going, wow, all the community gardens that we see around the country that people can actually enlist other people, other friends to help out with their composting needs.
Right. Some of the big cities are even trying to get composting programs going. Again, we're trying to get our tonnage down that we're sending off the incinerators into the landfill. So we can re-divert the tonnage of all the vegetable waste and fruit waste into a composting program. That's a wonderful thing. It's going to save everybody money, tax dollars, individuals' money, and it's going to put all these things back into the environment rather than putting them in a landfill somewhere, just burning them up in an incinerator and just wasting, you know, all that nutrient.
All right. So the next question is, where do we establish this compost area?
Well, the best thing is you want it a little bit away from your home. If you're going to put it in the backyard, you want it out away from the home a little bit, because you may get some fruit flies and other little critters, insects flying around. So you don't want it exactly where it's going to be, by your door or by where you're sitting having lunch or dinner out on your patio. So you want to have it a little bit away from the building, but yet you want it convenient so that you'll go out there and use it year-round, because you do compost year-round. And you also want it so it's near where you're going to use the end product of your compost. Because if you put it at one end of the garden and then it's at the other end of the garden, a couple hundred feet away, it's a lot of extra work unless you're into exercising. But you want to make it so it's convenient to get to, and then convenient to use the finished product out of there.
And it's funny that as you're describing that answer, I think about your organic garden when we're over there, and it's in close proximity to the garden because that's your primary source that you're using. Right. So it makes sense to have it right there. So now, compost piles, do they smell? Do they attract bugs? Tell me about that.
Well, the composting process, you are biodegrading things. You're trying to break things down through the use of all the organisms that are in the soil. And bugs are part of that too. So you will have bugs coming, going in there, little flies flying around. As long as you keep things covered and you keep things reasonably wet, with moisture and mixed up well, you won't get too much of a bug problem. A few flies around and all that. You may get a few little critters, like little mice, maybe once in a while get in there. If they find seeds in there, they may go burrowing in for seeds. But for the most part, you shouldn't have too much impact on right where you're working. Smell, the only time your compost will really smell is if it piles out of balance, if you're not building your pile right and it's getting a little bit too wet, or it's just going into an area where there's too much green matter in there and you're not getting the right kind of breakdown going.
And I know that later on in the show, you will talk about that balance. So, because we're going to talk about all the different things that we're going to put inside there. So there's going to be, again, the learning process with that. And I would also say this, one of your outdoor entertaining areas right next to your organic garden where, you know, many times families, we all have lunch and dinner back there. There is never a smell there at all. So I know that yours is in balance, and that's a really, really good thing, especially for my dining pleasure when I'm at your home. Now, my question to you is, and this is, I guess, because obviously you and I are also fishermen, will we see any worms in this compost?
Oh, you should see lots of worms in there. And they're a big part of helping you with the composting. They get in there, the worms, all different kinds you'll find in the compost pile, and they'll do, that's their job. They get in there and start to break things down and eat their way through the pile, eat up any newspaper, and then they cast off, the worm castings come out the other end, and they're just a wonderful thing. So when you turn the pile over and start to use it, you're going to see hundreds of worms in there. And that's just, again, a sign of a very healthy pile. They'll help to put oxygen into there by making little tunnels, and they'll be really happy in there, the worms. And if you want to take a couple for fishing, I guess it's not the worst thing.
Oh, so I do have your permission right now to go dig a few up.
Yes.
All right, that's very important, and you all heard that out there. Now, we always call earthworms plows of the earth, and they are. And you know, it's funny, you look into some of the organic catalogs, and they actually will sell you worm castings. Basically, that's worm scat. Well, yes. It's funny, they'll sell you worm castings, but they're going to put it right into your compost pile for free that you're going to put right into your garden. So it doesn't cost anything for that either. That's a great thing. Now, what are some of the things we can use to make compost pile walls?
Well, there's a number of ways we can establish our composting piles. And the main thing we want to do is we want to try and insulate the walls and the top if we can, because we want to keep the heat and the moisture within that area so we can keep the pile constantly working. Hay bales is one thing that people use. Fencing, they can make it out of that. You can make it out of old pallets. Again, if you're going to go to pallets, though, make sure there's no chemicals on them. Pallets are the things that you get in warehouses that things are shipped on. Make sure the wood's not treated with any kind of special chemicals. Like pressure-treated wood would not be something you would use in your compost pile, because those chemicals could leach out into that pile. We don't ever want that to happen, because we don't know. It's arsenic and other things that they use in these pressure-treated woods. So very bad for your pile and your organic approach to things.
All right, so you have that topic, and we could buy store-bought ones as well, correct?
Correct. And I kind of lean towards these. I use these myself. They're made by companies. They're mostly out of recycled plastic. So again, we're kind of helping to find a market for recycled plastics. And it's, there should be made with food grade plastics. That's important, that you don't want any chemicals leaching out of that bin into what you're creating there also. And the bins come in a couple different shapes, a couple different ways. Some are square, some are round, some have lids. There's little barrels. There's a lot of different varieties out there that you can have. And the best place to get these is you go online, you can look through the different catalogs that are available on the different websites, and just look at the different varieties, see what fits your color scheme, because they come in a lot of different colors. So if you have the color police list at your home, you want to make sure you keep her happy or him happy. And also you want to look at how it's going to be aesthetically in that area. Is it going to blend into what you have out there? Majority of them come in darker colors, like browns, earth tones, and that's something you want. A lot of times your local towns have different green committees, and they will offer these compost bins at a reduced price. They'll buy them wholesale, and then they'll just sell them to you for cost, and they might even deliver them to your house. A lot of them, you have to put them together, a couple little nuts and bolts. It takes like 10 minutes to put them together. Some snap together. There's a number of different varieties out there. The main thing is to look at these accelerators as a way to contain your area that you're composting, and it really does help to control out critters from coming in there, because you will get maybe an attraction to the raccoons and skunks and other things that are looking for a free meal. So it's a way to deter them from getting into your pile and making a mess.
And you know, it's funny, as you're describing all of those, and I'm thinking, you know, you and I have discussed this before on Joey B TV, where they sell the big octagonal balls that you could put the compost in, and to mix it up, basically you're turning the ball. So by doing that, you can list your kids or your neighborhood kids to start to roll the ball basically around the backyard.
Yes.
And it's getting mixing, they're getting their exercise, and you're getting compost all in the same vein.
Yeah. And it's a great way to get the kids to buy into the program too. You get them to take the compost outside for you, helping out with the chores around the yard. And then the exercise thing, it's like fun, especially for the littler guys that take this big ball and just push around the yard. They think it's fun. They're getting exercise, and you're getting compost. You're getting them to do work for you, but it's fun work. And that's another way. Those tumbler types are really fun too. The other tumbler types they have too are on racks, and they have handles on them with like big gears. And you can just put it's like a little cap in there. You open it up, put your products inside, and then you go out and you just spin it like once or twice a week. And it's a way to just keep mixing things up. So, you know, you have the kids can get into that too. It'd be fun for them to go out and, hey, go crank the compost barrel a couple times. And they go out and have fun doing it.
Or, you know, this with the way that people look at YouTube, I'm sure they can YouTube composting bins, and they will see everyone that's out there and the ones that you're describing and the ways to use them. And it's also a great learning tool as well, because when I am making a new recipe in the kitchen, I'll compost. Oh, no, I won't compost. I will actually YouTube a number of videos, watch them, and you know, it's a learning process, so the composting there would work as well. So now going back to the tools, are there any special tools that we should be using for composting?
Well, when you're composting, the main thing you want to do is you constantly want to keep the product stirred up in there. You want to continue to mix things up, and that's a way to introduce air into the pile. Maybe you're introducing moisture into there, and just to get all the different things. So if you get like a dead spot or a cold spot in the pile, it's a way to get the pile to reheat a little bit more. And it's so the way you can do that, you can use a long-handled shovel, a spade, a pitchfork. There's a lot of ways you can get in there. I have a little device that's kind of neat. It's a handle. It's like a pole with a handle on it, and it's got little butterflies on the end. So you push it in, and they fold up, and then when you go to pull it, the little wings flip out, and you just pull up on it, and it mixes things up as it's coming out. It makes little air tunnels because you want to constantly get oxygen into this pile there as a way to help speed along the breakdown process.
And I know that the more you move it, it accelerates a little bit quicker, correct?
Right, right. Keeping it moving there, again, you want to keep all the material mixed up with itself so it doesn't... if you get like a clot of grass on one side or some leaves all in the other spot, you want to get those all mixed up so they're constantly working with each other. And then it's also just a way to get some exercise for yourself too, using these tools. You're out there pulling up on that, and it gives you a little bit of a workout in the arms and the shoulder. So,
well, you know me, I'm the fitness guy, and you know, my deal is one exercise thing a day, and I don't care what it is. And you know this, the workout sometimes is actually just being in the garden, and then obviously, the composting and the different ways you describe that we can work those compost piles, you can get your workout by just being in the garden every day.
Yes.
Now, what are some of the things that we can put actually into the compost pile? Because, you know, we're talking about, okay, we've got it set up now. Now we're ready to roll. We've selected whether it's a bin or we made something. So what's going into it?
Okay, we want to put carbon and nitrogen sources in there. Those are the two main parts of a pile to simplify the chemistry part. You got brown and you got green. So you want to have the two kind of mixed together, and because they'll work off each other. And the very first thing in those you should put in any pile is if you have a bunch of sticks, go around late in the winter or anytime after a windstorm, pick up all the little branches and little twigs and just throw them in the bottom of the pile before you start. And that gives you like an air section underneath there so the air can circulate from underneath the pile and get itself up into there. And all the things that we take out of our kitchen, all our vegetable peelings, our apple cores, and all our skins off everything, our banana peels, you know, anything that you create, I keep a little bucket or a little bag in the kitchen sink, and you just take that out every day or two to dump that in there. And anything left over, the only thing you don't want to do is make sure it's all raw vegetables. Any cooked vegetables you shouldn't really put in there because you've probably already season them or put some type of oil or something on them or cook them in some type of sauce. So you just want to use raw, you know, vegetables or the scrapings that are left over from them.
Well, here's my question, because you said you can have a little container inside. Does it create an odor or an aroma inside your home, your kitchen?
No, I just use like a little plastic bag that we keep that when we bring things home from the store, if we have some plastic bags, and it's a way to recycle that bag one more time. And we just keep it in the sink and we just twist it closed. And we never really have an odor problem. Again, you're not going to store it there for a week. You take it out there for a day or two. If it becomes a problem, take it out the same day that you have the problem, because you don't want to get a fruit fly problem either in the kitchen.
Well, I also say this, because once again, you know, we go over your home for dinner and there's never a smell in your kitchen. Good aromas in your kitchen because your wife is an awesome cook. So we get some good food smells going on there. I'll say that one. Now, can we empty our vacuum bags and our shop vacs into that pile?
Well, depending on what's in your vacuum and your shop vac. If you're just doing regular things around your house, the hair and the dust from inside your home, that's great to empty that into your compost pile, because that's organic type things that are going to break down in there. But if you're vacuuming up glass with your shop vac, or vacuuming up a chemical spill or something you have, some kind of powders or whatever with your shop vac, those are things you don't want to put in there. Again, kind of using your common sense, if it's something that's just human in nature, dust, which is our skin cells and the hair off our body, those type of things, hair off the dog, that's not things that are going to create a problem in the paw. But if you have anything that's unnatural in the home that you're vacuuming up, you don't want to introduce those things into your pile because it's just, you're trying to be organic. You don't want any chemicals in there, so you want to try everything you can do. You don't want glass in there, of course, because then when you're working with the compost, it can either cut you or cut your underground irrigation tubes, or just, you don't want glass, you know, in there if you can. And that's a big problem when you find commercially based compost that you'll buy a lot of times, especially from the towns where you get the, they, you put your leaves out, they pick them up, and then you can go next year and pick up piles of leaves or broken down leaves from the municipal compost pile. A lot of times there is a lot of glass mixed in because they're picking up on the street, there's bottles mixed in, and they just get chopped up when the machine goes through them. And you really got to watch for glass from those type of free things that you get.
You know what? And you said it best about a minute ago. We're talking about, this is organic gardening, and real simple is it organic? And if it's organic, it's going in. But correct, there are some things that we just don't want to put in that compost pile at all.
Right. Well, let's continue a little bit more about what can go in there too. Uh-huh. Leaves from the garden, you know, can go in there from the leaves from when you break them in the fall or in the spring. You know, grass that you cut from your lawn, hedge clippings, anything that's coming out of your garden, you can, whether it's from your yard, from its vegetables, flowers, the lawn, should all be able to go in there as long as you're following organic practices throughout your yard. Now, a lot of people make the mistake of only having organic practice in their vegetable garden, but your entire yard, if you're going to make it part of your cycle, has to be organic. Your lawn should be organically maintained, and all your flowers and shrubs should be organically maintained. That way, anything that comes from anywhere within your yard is safe to put in your pile, that there'll be no chemicals in there. So when your neighbor comes running across the street, hey, I'm going to give you, Joey B, I got a bunch of leaves for you and a bunch of grass clippings. Like, find out, you know, if they're doing a chemical lawn, I don't really want your herbicides and your pesticides in my compost pile. Sorry. You know, we have to find another place to take them or let them start their own compost pile for their chemical yards. But I want my stuff to be as clean and pristine as possible that goes into my compost pile. I'm pretty fussy about it.
Well, being fussy also means that it is organic. And, you know, as people listen to our series on organic gardening, they're going to find out that it is so simple to become an organic gardener everywhere. Like, many people don't think about that you can be an organic gardener for your lawn. So the answer is, it's simple. And as they listen to the series, they'll learn more and more about how to become organic and make their whole property and then hopefully share that with their neighbors. And it grows. So going back to... are the things inside your house that you would not put into the compost pile?
Well, I wouldn't put anything from the kitchen, any meats or anything oily or greasy, because that's going to attract vermin into there. So you don't want to use anything like that because it can also throw the pile out of balance. Now, you're not going to use anything that you take out of your, you know, when you clean your car out, I wouldn't use, and that's another good point, actually, talking about if you vacuum your car out, especially in the winter, you might be vacuuming up road salt and other things off the floor mats. So I don't want to probably use things from the car that I vacuum out to put into the pot because it can be a little bit anything that's on the floor of your car. So you don't want to, just don't want to introduce that. So, yeah, floor sweepings from the car and truck, yeah, I would not put them in the pile.
Yeah, changing the salinity content, especially wintertime, wouldn't work.
Right.
Now, what about lime and... do we need that for accelerating, or are there other accelerating products?
Well, a lot of people think you have to put lime into your compost pile like right away, especially if they're composting oak leaves, because oak leaves can be on the acetic side. But it's never good to use lime unless you do a pH test of some sort. Because most people will, not that we can overline necessarily, but it's just a good practice to always, you should know your pH of everything you're dealing with before you try to adjust it, whether you're taking it up or down. So I would say do not use lime. Most compost piles will find their own natural balance. As long as you have a mixture of all different things in there, the more complex your pile is, the greater chances it has of getting to a neutral place for your pH there. And as for accelerator products, you'll see things in magazine. They got magic granules and powder you can throw into your pile to help accelerate it, make it go faster. A lot of them are sugar-based. All you're doing is throwing sugar in your pile to feed things in there. And that's not really the right thing to do. If you have some soil in your garden, which you do, just a scoopful of that going in there. So when you put some product in there, whether it's your grass, your leaves, your scrapings, anything else that you have, throw a little dirt in there or soil from the garden, and that's will give you all the things that you need in there to get things going there and start to cook a little.
Well, you know, it's funny that we always see in, you know, just local towns that people just think they must lime their soil, and some people lime them spring and fall, and as you said, they're never testing for the pH, and those pH tests are the kits are virtually they're inexpensive and easy to use.
Right, and you can use the kits; they're easy to use. They have little meters now you can buy; you can use over and over again, or you can send it out to a testing place like Rutgers or some other place to a testing laboratory if you really want to get a scientific test done on it.
Well, we like to send it to Rutgers since I'm a Rutgers grad, so that just makes me happy. But hey, yes, now. When you're building or layering that pile, how do you go about doing it?
Well, the main thing is you want to get the different layers brown and green again. We're talking about that nitrogen, carbon, trying to get that mix going in there. Think of it like lasagna. You're trying to build a lasagna in your compost pile. So you put it, instead of a layer of noodles, you're putting a layer of grass. And then instead of a layer of cheese, you're putting a layer of leaves. And then you're doing your clippings, which would be equivalent to your layer of meat, I guess. And then just keep layer after layer. So 2-3 different layers of things to start out. And then once you start to mix it, it makes mixing of the pile that much easier if you start with the layers.
Well, two things. I love your lasagna analogy, but I don't think I'm going to eat any lasagna at your house anymore. I think that one is now off the list. Tell your wife that we're done with lasagna over there. Now, what about moisture? What about air?
Well, moisture and air are two main things too. Again, you're trying to get a little cooking going on in your pile, basically, to make it simple. And you need moisture and air for things to cook properly. So when you're turning the pile, that's helping to introduce air, oxygen into the mix. Having the twigs at the bottom we talked about helps to bring air from the bottom. And then moisture is important in there. And that's one of the reasons why I like the bins, the contained bins, because you can help control the moisture in those a lot better. Because a lot of times you're compost pile will be out in a sunny area, which is fine. It can be out in the main sun. And it's actually better probably to have it in a sunny spot because you want that pile to heat up. But when it heat up, it will also dry out a little bit. So you want to make sure that it's like a wrung out sponge is how they say. Now, when you pick up your compost, squeeze it in your hand, it should feel like a wrung out sponge. If it's a lot of water's running out, you have too much water in there, and if it's just all crumbly and not doing anything, it's too dry, you can add some water. Hopefully you're using rain barrel water off your house.
And once again, making it more organic. So we're trying to get in, and we will do a show on rain barrels because, it goes along with the whole series. And when you're talking about the moisture and the air, you said that having the store-bought ones in the containers that you like to use, well, then with those heavy rainstorms, you're controlling the amount of moisture that's going in there versus, you know, your pile just sitting in the back getting saturated, right. And then it's going to take so long for it to dry out, you know, for that process to continue.
Right. And a lot of the nutrients will leach out, too. The water will leach out those things, so your compost becomes watered down, pretty much, basically.
Now, will I ever see steam coming off my pile? Like, does it get that hot?
Oh, yeah. If you have a really good pile that's set up properly and it's really working, you'll on a certain days, you'll see steam rising off the pile. And that's okay. That's great. That means it's hot. It's cooking. Because you want it to cook, too, for one reason is to just limit any disease that may be in the products that you put in there. And you should. That's one thing we need to talk about, using diseased plants in your compost mix. If you have plants that are really diseased, they should just be done away with in another way. To composting those, you may just help keep spreading that disease back into your vegetable garden or flower garden. So the hotter you can get it, so some disease does find its way into the soil. And there's all kinds of diseases. You'll never control them all. Some are plant-borne, some are airborne, some are soil-borne. So if you get the pile really hot, it's going to help to cook off any of the pathogens and all that you're going to find in the pile. So, you know, keep it hot, keep that moisture right, and you can go out there, you can feel the side of the container or feel the pile itself. And if you feel some warmth or feel some steam in there, you've done the right thing. You've built a good pile.
Building a good pile. So here we go. We've built that good pile. And just like anything, you know, we were talking about, you know, joking around with foods and all. So now, you know, when the lasagna is done, how do I know when my compost is done? So I'm excited. Like, is it ready today? How do I know?
Well, the main thing is, some of the bins that you have, you'll have little doors on the bottom, actually, and the compost goes in the top, comes out the bottom. But if you have other types of bins or a regular pile, you just reach in with your shovel and pick up a scoop of what's the brown, and they call it gardener's gold, everybody calls it. It should be brown, blackish in color, depending on what products you have in there. And it should smell earthy, and it should be all, you shouldn't see like pieces of apple or pieces of leaves and all that. It all should be broken down. It should look like a crumbly soil, like a dark soil. And it should smell really good. It shouldn't have a foul odor to it or anything like that. If it has any type of odor, it may need to just maybe cook a little bit more. Some people just compost right in a hole, right in their garden too. They just dig a hole and they just keep going along composting in spots like that. But I like doing the pile part because you can really make it and cook it really good in these containers.
Right, easier to control when you have one, you know, one unit, one place. Right. And, you know, as you're describing that, and I'm thinking about, you go out into the forest, again, as a scientist, and I'm going, if you take away the top layer of leaves and the next layer, and you start to look at the leaves that were there for 2 and 3 years, they've already broken down, and they're almost back to the pure nutrients. Mm-hmm. And I've seen your compost piles, and when you're pulling it out there, it is completely decomposed and ready to go back into the soil. Pretty neat. So here's my question. What about commercial size composting?
Well, they're good too. We've been down to that one organic farm we went to where they had the giant rows of leaves and the stables. They dug the stables out there nearby with all the hay and the horse manure, and they had these giant piles going. And it was pretty impressive to see these big organic piles, and they would go through with a special machine and turn them over. I mean, they were big. Piles are bigger than houses, and they were pretty impressive. And they would just turn them over, and it takes a little bit longer when they're out in the opening on that. But they had a lot of different stagger, I guess, on their piles. So they would, you know, keep going across and use this pile's ready this year for the farm. Then next year we use that pile. You can create compost really in less than 30 days. If you have a good accelerator bin going and small amount of product that's well balanced, you can get compost like really quick. If you're doing it just kind of out in the pile somewhere on its own, it can take maybe a year to make compost, you know, 100%. What I do with mine, I make my compost starting in the spring with an empty compost bin, and I make it all summer long using leaves and grass and everything out of the yard. And then I, in the spring, then the following spring, I empty it out into the vegetable garden. I rototill it all in, and then I start to rebuild my pile. So I'm constantly building my pile, but it gets emptied out like once a year. The bins go totally empty, and I just start over again. And you can use the compost not just in vegetables, which is my primary use, but also on flower gardens. You can use it as a top dressing to add nutrients into the soil to help keep weeds down. And also, you can use it right on your lawn. Now, a lot of people you get a drier compost, let it dry up a little bit, and you can actually put it in a rotary spreader and kind of spread it around, and you're top dressing the soil. So it's a way to put some organic product like right on top of the soil where the grass is, and it helps to feed the soil and helps to control moisture a little bit there too. So it's, you know, it's, again, it's an inexpensive fertilizer, and you're just recycling the grass clippings. Ideally, grass clippings, you want to recycle them right in place. If you do a lawnmower, you want to just chop them and let them lie. But a lot of times we can't do that because the lawn is growing so quickly. So we have to cut it, bag it, and then we can cycle it through the compost pile and then back onto the lawn again. So that's another wonderful way just to keep that precious cycle going, you know, throughout your yard.
And you know, it's funny, typically we would be there with a cameraman in your garden filming. But hey, like we said, it's wintertime. We're in the studio recording. But as usual, I always learn from my great friend, Inspector Dave. I just want to thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being here to teach us about composting. And I know you'll be back in the studio another day to talk more about organic gardening.
Yes, I'll be back. Thank you again for having me.
Hey, as usual, it's Joey B. And today, Inspector Dave, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's joeyb.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Thank you.
I was awesome.